Well, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas to you all. And Merry Christmas to those of you who are watching online. For some of you, depending on where you're watching around the world, you may, in fact, still be enjoying Christmas Eve. So whether it's Christmas Eve or day for you, welcome. It's good to have you with us. Trust the day is serving you well. No doubt for some of you, it's been an early start already. It's a great day, this one, isn't it? Hey, a few weeks ago, I was privileged to represent Doncaster in the 50-plus age bracket in the state Athletics Relay Championships. And so that was a great time. We certainly trained very hard for that event, and it culminated with this day. And I was running in the 4x1500, and that's just, I get tired just saying that, 4x1500. And I was the first leg. And so I took off with baton in hand, and at the risk of self-indulging, here I am here, just doing my thing there. Now understand, that's lap one or two. Okay, so my form's okay. I'm looking not too bad. There's not too much pain on that expression there, but who knows in their 1500 meter races that it's lap three that's the issue. Lap three is where the pain starts to really set in. That's when the pain comes on, and that's that moment where you realize you're not 35 anymore, you're actually 55. The lactic acid builds up, and again, you're asking yourself the question, why? Why am I doing this? This is optional. I could be in the garden pulling up weeds with all the other 55-year-olds. On a Saturday afternoon. What am I doing here? But anyway, I've got to grind out that next lap, because that's what you do in a 1500, and eventually get to that final lap, and the visibility of the finish line and your teammate ready to receive the baton from you wills you to the end. I hand the baton over, and then I watch my three teammates go through the same amount of pain that I just went through. But that's more fun, watching others run in pain. They went around the lap for the next 15 minutes. They did their thing. And it culminated with great rejoicing and celebration, because we came third place and got a state bronze medal. How's that? Here we are. Some old timers there turning back the clock. Oh, we had a great day together. And then 5 hours later, that same team, we fronted up again. But who knows, as a 55-year-old, 5 hours later, that's not going to work well for us. Because 5 hours later, you're already, the aches and the pains have set in, the muscles have constricted, you're feeling quite stiff and sore, and you've got to go again. So here we were, it's a 4x400. I was the first leg. I was in the starting blocks, and the gun went bang. And then my calf went bang. As soon as I came out of the blocks, the calf went, I know that pain. I know that that's a slight tear in my calf muscle. But I've got to keep going, because I've got three teammates banking on me getting around that track so they can have a go. And I kid you not, I get 50 meters down the track, another bang, the hamstring. The hamstring went on me. That was a slight tear in the hamstring. And I'm thinking, oh no, I've got to get around this track. And so I just pulled back a little bit, and I was obviously undermined and compromised with my injuries. Got myself around the track. The adrenaline got me around. Passed the baton over, but obviously cost my team any chance of winning a medal in the 4x400. Thankfully, there wasn't a photo taken of me in that lap. If there was, I'm sure it would look not unlike this fella here, because I really just wanted that whole experience to finish as quickly as it could. And so there was great rejoicing in the first race, this one. Hey, this was all about resting. I literally limped over the line, and all I could think about was resting. I need to get home. I'm aching. I'm in pain. I need to put the feet up. And I went through the recovery process of icing and then hot bath and then icing again, some light massage. And that continues to today, because as you older men know, the calf muscles take a long time to recover from that. Pastor Dale just said amen down the front here. And so anyway, interesting, isn't it? Two races, same finish line. Two very different outcomes. One, there was great rejoicing. And the other one, it was all about resting. And I'd like to suggest that this morning that Christmas is an invitation into both those things. It's an invitation to rejoice, and it's also an invitation to rest. How about we unpack that a little bit together this morning? I reckon many of us see Christmas Day today as the finish line. And for many of us, that finish line will come at about midnight tonight, because there's still so much that we're involved in today. Hey, but I reckon it's December the 1st. We get in the starting blocks and we're ready to go, and we're full of optimism and we're full of energy, and this is the year it's going to be different. I'm going to do things at a more ordered pace. I'm going to be more organized. I'm going to soak up all the best bits of Christmas and just enjoy it for what it is. And things are going well, lap one, lap two. But like that third lap of a 1500, we get to the middle of December and it starts to take a toll, doesn't it? It gets busy. Wow. And we get sucked into that vortex of our Christmas culture, sucks us in, and all of a sudden it's about the crushing crowds and the madness in the shopping centres, the madness out there on the roads. And what about the supermarket aisles? You've seen the way people are driving in the trolleys last week? Whoa, it's every person for themselves are driving them like motor racing cars. Get out of the way. People mean business this time of year. It's the entanglement of Christmas lights. It's the late nights. It's the farewells. It's the parties. It's all the things that we have to host. It's the endless search for that perfect Christmas gift. And it's exhausting. And for many of us, we will limp over the line today and literally limp into bed and then wake up tomorrow and we'll enter our rest on Boxing Day. You know, there's a line that I really resonate with that comes from my favorite Christmas carol, O Holy Night. And for those of you who watched carols last night, you would have seen Sylvie Palladino, her rendition of O Holy Night was quite exquisite, just beautiful. And it means so much to her. You can see that as she sings it. Well, there's a line in that carol that says this: a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. See, in many ways, we can't escape the weariness of Christmas. It's unavoidable. It is what it is. But we can't also avoid the weariness of life. Life can cause us a great deal of weariness. I mean, at the end of the day, we've got people to see, we've got places to be, we've got jobs to uphold, we've got families to run, we've got households to run, we've got busy schedules. It can be absolutely exhausting. Yet in all of that, the invitation is to rejoice in the coming of a king, a savior that has come, a savior that has come to help us navigate all the mess and even the complexity of our lives. Whatever life tosses our way, we have a savior, a companion that walks with us in all of that. And when we, in all humility, invite him into our hearts and invite him into our lives, something quite miraculous happens. He instills something within us that the world can't instill, that the world can't give. And that miracle is the joy that we get to live with, even when the world says, you ought not be joyful. But it just is, because the Spirit of God lives inside of us and gives us this joy and this hope, the thrill of hope, and this peace that transcends anything that the world can give us. That's the miracle of Christmas. That's the miracle of Christ in us. You see, our weary souls need to rejoice. And when we go back to that holy night, that first Christmas, there was lots and lots of rejoicing, wasn't there, amidst a lot of weariness. You think about it. You look at Mary and her life. I mean, here she is at the back end of a nine-month pregnancy. She must have been as weary as all get out. Now, on top of that, the weariness of travel. Here she is traveling with Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey, not on the in the back of an air-conditioned car that you and I would be enjoying today, on the back of a donkey of all things, 130 kilometres so they can go and register for the census. Wow. Most biblical scholars would say at best that would take you 4 days in that culture, but depending on Mary's condition, probably a whole week of travel. So imagine the stress for poor old Joseph too in all of that. Just the weariness for Joseph and the travel, that he would have been traveling those kilometres by foot, and in the worry that would have consumed him, the worry about his dear Mary. What about the plight of Mary? What if she goes into labour early before we even get there? And then there's a stress of a resting place. There's no room at the inn, and so they find themselves in a stinking stable, surrounded by barnyard animals with a feeding trough as a manger. Wow. Yet in all of that weariness, a savior is born, and the world, the weary world, rejoices. Now, Mary, she had preempted her joy months earlier in the early days of her pregnancy, where she says in Luke 1, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my savior." See, Mary knew that God was up to something. She knew she was on holy ground, that God, in his wisdom, was asking Mary to play a vital role in the coming of a savior. And she gets that. She understands how important that role is in her life. So in Mary and Joseph, we see that weary parents rejoice. Now, in addition to the great joy that Mary and Joseph experienced at that first Christmas, there were others who rejoiced. The shepherds are a case in point. You think about those shepherds who lived a tough and arduous life. What a weary occupation out there in the field. Now, many of you certainly are involved in occupations that cause you a fair bit of weariness, but how taxing it was to be a shepherd out in the elements. And these shepherds, they are visited on this night. In their frightened state, an angel comes to them and tells them that a Savior has been born. So quickly they rush off to catch a glimpse of this Savior. They want to see Jesus in the flesh. And when they do, look what they do. In Luke 2, we see the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and they had seen. You see, they couldn't help but rejoice. As weary as they would have been in their state, as frightened as they were, they see and then they rejoice. They glorify God in all that was in front of them. So we see in this flock of shepherds, weary shepherds rejoice. And then we have the wise men, also known as the Magi, these guys that were devoted to the study of stars and highly educated men who thought very deeply about life. And here they are on the back of a 1,000-mile journey through the desert to find a baby whose name is unknown, whereabouts that are unknown, yet they take off in search of this king. And this would have been a costly exercise for them. They leave loved ones behind. They wouldn't return for months and months, and then, of course, they have to look after their food and their lodgings along the way. And I've got no doubt they were grappling with a number of things. They would have grappled with tiredness and discouragement and illness and perhaps a temptation just to give up and go back home. It's a lot easier back there. But they persevere. They hang in there. And they get there without the use of Google Maps. They actually use a star, of all things, to help them navigate. And they get there. They get to their destination. And when they do, in their weary state, what do we read there in Matthew chapter 2? When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him again. When they were presented with the Christ child, they intuitively did something that was just natural in that moment. They bowed down and they worshipped him in their absolute joy. It's interesting, isn't it, those three groups of people in the context of our lives, parenting, can be really, really weary. Those of you who are in the parenting stage right now, you know how weary you get at times. I mean, some of you are weary right now after your 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock wake-up call this morning. One of the great things about having older kids is you get to sleep in on Christmas Day now. Look forward to that, younger parents. But parenting is weary. But your occupations, many of you have occupations that keep you up at night, that are taxing, that are really, really tough, that go well beyond the 9 to 5 type of traditional hours. And then searching. Often we're on this search for knowledge and this search for answers in our lives. That can be taxing too and draining on us. But the invitation in all of that is to rejoice. Why? Because our weary souls need to rejoice. And on Christmas Day, that reason to rejoice is staring us right in the face. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. I wonder if you're rejoicing this Christmas. And I'm talking about rejoicing well beyond the Christmas present that you'll open and the turkey that you'll eat today. Are you genuinely rejoicing this Christmas? Even in your weariness, can you find it in your heart to rejoice? Because there's so much to celebrate. There really is, but you must journey beyond the manger to find out why. See, as nice and as comfortable and as non-threatening and as safe as the nativity scene is, and it is, it's beautiful, isn't it? We also are reminded at Christmas that this Savior of ours that came in the form of a babe grew up, didn't stay a baby for long. And he grew in wisdom and he grew in stature into a fully fledged, mature, aged adult male. And as you fast forward through the Gospels there, you'll see that this male that lived life on earth, just like we're living on earth here, changed the course of history and changed the course of people's lives. As you read the Gospels there, you'll see that he had incredible encounters with people. He performed miracles. He healed the sick. He exorcised demons from people who were being tormented. He'd come alongside and show compassion and love for the lost and for the ostracized, the marginalized. He'd have time for people where others, the world, didn't have time for them. And on top of all that, he spoke some incredible, profound truths into people's lives. A Savior who said some extraordinary things about himself. And if you embrace these things that he said about himself for yourself, it will change the course of your life forever too. Look at some of these incredible things that he had to say. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. No one can have a relationship with my Father in heaven except through me and through what I've done for you on the cross. Then he went on to say that my purpose is to give you life in all of its fullness. Who doesn't want a full life? I know I want a full life. That's what Jesus came to offer each and every one of us. He wants us to enjoy that fullness of life. He also said that I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus was good for his word, because not there long after, he went to the cross and he died that excruciating death and went through all that pain just so we could be free and experience that fullness of life and the forgiveness of sins and then live with him forever. He was true to his word. And then he went to say something I think is just a beautiful, beautiful promise for all of us. And it's this one. It comes in Matthew 11. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You see, it's not just Christmas that causes weariness. It's actually life itself, isn't it? Life can be downright weary. And this last year is a case in point. And I know many of you have been caught in it all. You think about the mounting cost of living pressures that so many of us are experiencing. It's tough. For some families, maybe can only afford one, two meals instead of the three per day. Mounting cost of living pressures is taxing. It's causing weariness. Not just that though, the rising interest rates. Every time those interest rates go up, the mortgage payments go up, and some of you are right on the precipice right now, right on that mortgage cliff. If they keep going up anymore, you're worried about where things sit for you and your household. And then there's that empty chair at your Christmas table today. Empty because you've had a falling out with someone. It was filled last year, but this year they're not there. Why? Because of a relationship breakdown, some friction. That causes weariness. For some of you, there'll be an empty chair today because you're grieving the loss of someone who was sitting there last year, but they've passed on over the last 12 months. And that's tough. I understand that. That's a tough part about Christmas, as we grieve the loss of those beautiful people that we have so many Christmas memories with. And then, of course, there's the turmoil of the war-torn regions all around the world right now. And we watch the images, we hear the stories, and we worry, we're full of anxiety, we get a little fearful, don't we, when we watch what's going on around the world. And some of you literally have friends and relatives in the fight overseas. That causes great stress on our lives. Life can be messy. It can be complex, it can be chaotic. And when we get caught up in all that, it has us searching for answers in the midst of our weariness. Sounds good in response, does it not? To fall into the arms of Jesus and experience rest, that sounds good to me. See, there's this thrill of hope as our weary world rejoices, and that hope comes in the form of God's rest. Now, this rest is very different to the rest that many of you will experience later today when you have that afternoon snooze on the couch to keep you going and refueling you until midnight tonight. It's very different to your Boxing Day sleep in tomorrow, except for those of you who go to the cricket. Silly, silly move, that one. Sleep in, go to the cricket on day two, I reckon. But it's very different. This rest is very different to that type of rest. This rest brings life. It brings peace, it brings joy, it brings hope, that thrill of hope, regardless of what season of life we're in, regardless of how weary or not we feel in our lives. And in a world that's increasingly making us weary, this rest is a life-giving gift. And it will transcend any gift that you open under the tree today. It's a gift that will help you not just in the here and now, but will be with you forever and into eternity. Now, it's resting in the knowledge that he sees you, that God knows you. He's a personal God. He wants to have a relationship with you. And it says in Psalm 139 that, God, you know everything about me. It's a bit scary, isn't it? But he does. He knows everything about us. He wants to know us. He's a personal God. And we can rest in the knowledge that he knows you. We can also rest in the knowledge that he wants to forgive you. Regardless of your past misdemeanors, the dirt that's in your life that has built up over time, perhaps the regrets you have in your life and the people that you've hurt along the journey and those things you're not proud of. You know, God says, I can put a line through all of that. Just come to me in all humility, seek forgiveness, and I will cleanse you through what Jesus has done on the cross, through the blood of the Lamb. He wants to forgive you, it says there in Matthew 1. He will save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came at Christmas. And was given the name Jesus the Messiah to save us from our sins. And we can rest in the knowledge also that he loves you, absolutely loves you. He wants you to experience that fullness of life that Jesus came and promised us. And he loves you that much, that your life matters that much, that he actually sent Jesus into this world to eventually die that excruciating death on that cross so that we could have life. As it says there in John 3, chapter 3, verse 17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Let me say that again, but personalize it a little bit more. God did not send his son into this world to condemn you, but to save you. And that makes a huge, huge difference in our lives. Let me close with this final thought. Pre-COVID, I used to do something that caused my wife a fair bit of embarrassment. Still does today, but I don't do it very often today because you can't, because things have changed post-COVID. But pre-COVID, I used to go into retail or into shopping centres, and if I walked past a Baker's Delight retail outlet, what would I do? I'd meander over to the counter and pick away at all the samples. And so I'd take a bit of Lamington, a little bit of coffee scroll, a little bit of cheese and bacon and roll, and I had this down to a fine art, because then I'd disappear for 5 minutes and then go back again and take another bit of Lamington. And I used to feast on these samples and get myself a free morning tea. And I taught my kids to do the same thing. It's a big saving, huge saving. But I tell you what, how frustrated those owners must have been with people like me. Because I never went back and actually bought the product. I never followed through and bought the thing. But I wonder how sad, how frustrated God must be at times when he sees so many people nibble away and just taste a little of the Christmas narrative, the Christmas story. But just, that's enough. I don't need any more. And then hold back and allow the story then to unfold without them. Because the story does and did unfold well beyond the manger. And it went all the way to the cross. And all the way to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, we celebrate a babe that was born, our Savior Jesus Christ today. But we also celebrate the fact that he's alive today. Amen. Amen. He's alive today, and we can celebrate that very fact. And for only though, it says in Hebrews here, for only we who believe can enter his rest. Only those who believe can enter his rest. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment's time for those of you who perhaps would like to enter that rest for the very first time and say yes to Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, just like so many people across this auditorium and online have done previously and had their lives changed forever. Perhaps this is your time, this Christmas, to stop running from God. Perhaps you've kept God at arm's length, at a safe distance. Perhaps it's your time to stop running. Perhaps this is your time to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and rejoice, join with the shepherds and the wise men and the angelic host, and rejoice in the fact that you have a Savior, a personal Savior. Perhaps this is the day to find rest in all of your weariness of life. You see, Christmas is that invitation. It's an invitation to rejoice, and it's an invitation to rest. A weary world rejoices in a Savior. A weary world rests in God's love. Let's pray together. And online, would you join with me too? Lord God, again on this Christmas morning, we are overjoyed and we celebrate at the birth of a Savior. And we are so grateful that you sent your Son Jesus into this world, not just so that we'd have a wonderful Christmas narrative to read about and carols to sing, but you brought Jesus into this world so that we might have life and have it in its fullness, that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might be given hope and joy and peace. And for those things, we are grateful, so grateful. But in this moment, in the quiet of our hearts, God, I also understand there'll be some here this morning, online and in this room, that are ready to say yes to you, Jesus, for the very first time. Those who are tired of running from you, those who are tired of holding back, those who are weary looking for answers, perhaps this is their moment, perhaps this is your moment to say yes to Jesus. I want to enter your rest. And if that's you this morning, while we are continuing to pray here, I'm going to pray a prayer. And you can simply recite this prayer in your own heart and own it for yourself. And then have the course and the trajectory of your life changed forever. You could pray this prayer. God, I want to thank you that you do see me, that you know me, and you want to have a personal relationship with me. And I want to thank you that you sent Jesus into this world to forgive me of my sins, and there's some things that I've done that I'm not proud of. And I ask that you might forgive me of those things. I lay them down. I ask that you might cleanse me afresh. And I accept that Jesus, you died on that cross for me, and you rose again and that you're alive today. And I want to live in that knowledge that you love me, that you know me, and you came into this world to save me. So I commit my heart and my life to you, and I join with all of these others around me, online and in this room, who have been overjoyed by a Savior in their life for so long now. And this is my time to say, yes, Jesus, I'm ready to step into that new phase of my life. And so, Lord God, again, as we move from this place, we enjoy time around our Christmas tables today with our families. May we be mindful of the greatest gift of all, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in whom we rejoice. Amen.